Coming up on the pod, we're talking NBA playoffs. That's right. It's all about hoops today. And we're trying something different, a little ménage à trois. I've got two very special guests joining the podcast at the same time. That's right. I've got producer extraordinaire Owen O'Connor and the Celtic hater Todd Kaye. Both of them will be with me on the podcast, and we'll be talking about the first round games and the first weekend of the playoffs that just took place. It's all about hoops. It's all about the playoffs. It's all about talking balls. Let's do this. Okay, welcome back to the podcast, and joining me to discuss NBA playoff action is the producer extraordinaire, Owen O'Connor, and the Celtic hater, Todd Kaye. We got them both in the house. This is the first time we got a little ménage à trois going on here with three people on the podcast. So, lads, welcome. How are we doing?
Doing great, Mike. Thanks for having us. Excited to break the seal on the menage, see how it goes.
Yeah, the first time we can publicly have a threesome, Mike, huh?
Publicly.
That was about as clean as I could have said it.
Yeah, well, we were all young and we needed the money, so we'll do what we have to do to survive. All right, so it's all about NBA playoff action. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about the teams that weren't even good enough to get into the playoffs. And we'll talk about the play-in debacle and Owen's Golden State Warriors. So they did everything in their power to get to the play-in. They had to play the beast that is the Sacramento Kings, that powerhouse, and they were dumped out and aren't even in the playoffs. In my mind, a wonderful dynasty, a team that, for all intents and purposes, reinvented the game of basketball the last 8-9 years. Splash Brothers with other supporting players throughout the years, 4 titles, 3 Hall of Famers. I think we could all agree Steph, Clay, and Draymond are going to get their jackets and rings. But Owen, I'll start with you. Is it time to blow it all up?
I mean, I think it's going to be hard to, in part because they've already committed to 2/3 of that. What do you blow it up to, right? So Steph is still an A player, so you want to keep that. You've already committed to Draymond for the next 3 years. So with the way the cap works and, you know, if they want to get under the luxury tax, they have to basically get rid of everybody else. And then they're not going to be a contender. I don't think you can get rid of Steph because then you don't have a franchise. So the likelihood is you see if you can re-sign Clay at a lower dollar amount than what he is and you hope for some magic. But it is pretty depressing over here. I think a lot of the sports radio around here is kind of saying, yeah, it is done unless, you know, some miracle trade happens, right? If there's the outside possibility that we re-sign Chris Paul's player option and we package him with some of the young guys and maybe there's a all-star level forward who's like, you know what? I want to go play with Steph for a year or two and ring chase. But it seems like you're, admittedly, you could be right. This could be the end, which would be very depressing.
Right. Well, they're on the hook as a team for $174 million next year already. And that's with Clay's 43 coming off the board. Mm. So Draymond's locked in for the next 3 years at an average of about 25. Andrew Wiggins, which is one of the best contracts I've ever seen, is locked in for 26, 28, and a player option for $30 million in 2026.
Well, here's the thing. He playoff Wiggs was the reason why he put us over the top in 2022. And
Jort.
if that player shows up and he shows signs of life the tail end of the season, which gave us all hope in the Bay Area, we thought, fuck, we're back, we're doing it. But yeah, his inconsistency. But if he comes back and plays at that level, it's a steal. You know, now guys are getting 50, 60 million a year to have that level of player. I mean, Clay turned down that level of money before the start of the season. Now, I don't think anybody would want to pay him half of that money based on, like, what was he, 0 for 16 in the play-in game? Like, you know, you want your veteran guys to be the rock in these situations, not to shit the bed entirely. So, you know, yes, Wiggins is erratic, but I think you can pay 25 million for an erratic player who can produce the goods periodically. But yeah, this year, highest payroll in the league and didn't even make the playoffs. And we don't even have a lottery pick because we traded that away. Well, I think it's if we finish the we it's a top four pick protected. So if we win the lottery and the draft, we might get a pick, but otherwise we don't even get a pick. So yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah, sounds that way. Todd, what do you think about the Warriors and their future?
Well, I would add to what you said, not only reinvented, but reinvigorated the game. You know, even as a Laker fan, I found watching the Warriors through this run to be incredibly exciting. Steph Curry is an amazing player to watch. If you love basketball, you have to love the Golden State Warriors. So I don't come at this for any with any animosity, you know, or ill will towards the Warriors at all. But I do hear a lot of wishful thinking from Owen on the Warriors. And you know, God love them. You know, that's what you do when you love a team. But and I don't think you judge Klay Thompson by, you know, his performance in one game, although it's shocking, you know, his performance or lack thereof in that game. But I guess I would start my first thought on this, or, you know, my first couple thoughts. Number one, I think you need to be bold, right? And you don't want to just hang on by your fingernails and hope for the best. It doesn't work. I think it's proven over and over again when you try to do that, it just doesn't work. My second point is a question, and that is there any thought or discussion, as we've seen so often in the NBA recently, of, in this case, Green or Steph, you know, forcing a trade, forcing their way out of town. You know, it's one thing for a, you know, as you say, I want a, you know, an all-star forward to come in and chase a ring. It's another thing for Steph to force himself, you know, in the not that it ever worked, but in the, you know, Kevin Durant fashion or whatever it might be, to go play with somebody he's always wanted to play with, because the players certainly have the power to do that. They hold the teams over a barrel. He makes a boatload of money, and there's salary cap implications wherever he goes, no doubt. But is there any thought or discussion of something like that potentially happening? Because that seems more likely to me than, you know, oh geez, let's cross our fingers and hope for one or two more shots at it.
I did actually hear. I was dropping our dog to the groomer half an hour ago, and it was one of the first times that I heard on the talk radio that somebody made that suggestion of, "Hey, is it time to trade Steph for, you know, do like an OKC kind of a thing and get first round picks for the next 20 years from somebody and blow it all, you know, completely blow it all up?" But I just don't know that you can do that with a player that literally is, you know, maybe, you know, top five, top 10 all-time player. Like, can you do it with a player who's that generational? As you said, change the game. You know, you look at, what was it? I was reading the stats, like, of the top since 2015, what was I reading here? 27 NBA games have drawn over 14 million viewers, and Steph Curry has played in all 27 of them. Like, he is, despite, you know, Nike's best efforts, you know, he is the draw in the NBA. It's not LeBron, it's not Durant. People want to see Steph play. And from the franchise, like Joe Lacob, the owner, you do everything possible to keep Steph. Now, yes, if Steph turned around tomorrow and said, "I want out," as a fan, it would be heartbroken, but you'd be like, "Hey, he's earned that right." But it seems like that's not the kind of guy he is, and he's got so many charities, and so he does so much work in the communities around here, and he's Mr. Bay Area and has done so much work. It seems like he doesn't want to, like he wants to succeed here versus, hey, I want to go to LA, or hey, I want to go to Boston. I mean, Charlotte is that only thing that kind of hangs over him, which is where he grew up. And that's always the when they talk about it at the when he goes on the road to Charlotte, like, yeah, it's his hometown game, and he's excited to go there. His dad is the commentator for the Hornets. But I don't think he wants to go there anytime soon because their franchise is a shit show. So as long as they keep messing up, I can't see him say. I mean, I think, yeah, if the Warriors continue to be a 10, 11, 12 seed, then yeah, he might go, hey, I've only got a couple of years left. I'll go be a spot up shooter for the Spurs while Wemby grows, into the game or something like that. But I don't see that happening, but it could.
Well, there's the nostalgia, for lack of a better word, of how people feel about Steph in the Bay Area. And there's no disputing that. And then there's, as a GM, the reality of the situation, right? It doesn't matter if he's got 45 community service organizations in the Bay Area. If it needs to be blown up, it needs to be blown up, right? And so I mentioned him forcing a trade, but does the front office have the wherewithal to make a decision, draw a line in the sand, and say, right, it's time? Because and the owner might say, if we finish in last place, we still sell it every night, and I don't care, right? I mean, there's that as well. You mentioned Steph Curry's draw. That's money in the pocket, right? And so it might not matter if they make the playoffs or not if you're that franchise. So, but if you want to win as a front office, there's some hard, difficult decisions and choices to be made. I mean, I think Thompson's probably gone. I don't think there's any question about that. But
Well, as Owen said, unless he said, listen, I'll come back for 2-year deal for 40 million or something like that,
right.
and they can get him, because I think that would be worth it. The guy's still got game. He showed glimpses of that throughout the season. He still can compete at a high level. Just he's not the Klay of 2018, 2019, that kind of level.
Right. He missed 2 years. You could say that those go on the back end of his production, right? I
Yeah.
mean, 2 years younger than he really is. I mean, that's optimistic, but he did miss 2 full years, so.
He did. But those injuries just take a toll.
Yeah.
You lose a step. His explosiveness isn't what it used to be. I still think he's the greatest shooter of all time. Well, I'll say this. I'll rephrase that. He's got the sweetest stroke of any shooter I've ever seen in my life. He lets that ball
Yes.
go. My God, he can really sling it.
I think Jamal Wilkes would have a beef with that one. Silk.
Wow. Wow. Blast from
You
the
call him
past.
Silk for
Jesus.
nothing.
And you're even going UCLA on me as
That's
well. Fuck's
right.
sake. Okay. Yeah, a lot of big decisions. Joe Lacob isn't afraid to spend money, though. He doesn't really care about the cap, even though I think they'd like to get under it. Klay might come back on a cheap deal. Maybe they trade Steph for a boatload of picks and rebuild around Kuminga. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's a franchise player. A lot of decisions to be made for the Warriors. But look, at least they're all comfortable now sitting on their couches watching the playoffs, and that's a good thing. And Klay can rest. So we'll jump towards those playoffs. And the first series we're going to touch on is defending champion Denver Nuggets taking on your Los Angeles Showtime Lakers. Game two was last night. Lakers blew, what was it, 20-point second half lead? 10-point fourth quarter lead, and they are now down 2 games to 1. They travel back to LA in a couple of days. Owen's totally stoked about this. Todd, we'll start with you as you're a Laker fan. What the fuck? I saw a quote before I say this. There was a meme that I saw. It showed Jordan. He says, "You know the difference between Jordan and LeBron? Jordan didn't fucking blow 20-point second half leads in the playoffs." And you know, for all of LeBron's greatness, there's something to that. What do you think the Lakers' chances are now? They got to win 4 out of 6.
Yeah, go back to the last time we talked on your illustrious podcast, and I said Denver's the team to beat. Everything goes through Denver. I mean, at the end of the day, they're the best team in the West, certainly. You know, they might not be the number one seed, but I still think they're the best team. I think that's what it comes down to. You know, the Lakers have led by a total of 35 points over what, 4.5, 5 quarters in this game, and lost both games. And, you know, if you look at how they played in through 2.5 quarters last night and through a quarter and a half the first night, they have a game plan, right? They have a very solid game plan of what they think they need to do to beat the Nuggets. And it's fundamental, right? Box out, limit second chance points, don't turn the ball over. I mean, if that's not everybody's game plan, then there's something wrong. But particularly, this is what they need to do, right? And in game one, the Nuggets had 18 second half points and the Lakers had 14 turnovers, right? And I don't know how it skewed first and second half, but I would pretty much guess in both games it skewed pretty heavily to the second half. They're going to have to play their best, right? They're going home, okay? I'm not going to say they're dead in the water, but they got 2 games at home. I mean, by all accounts, they should be up 2-0 coming home. But they're not as good as the Nuggets. Simply not as good as the Nuggets. They can't make mistakes. I don't know what happened last night. Pick any cliche you want. Took their foot off the gas, you know, relaxed. You know, Nikola didn't score, I think. He scored in the first quarter. He didn't score until the fourth quarter or late in the third. He still had a ridiculous triple-double. Like, I mean, just ludicrous stuff. And so they're not as good as them, and they're going to have to play perfect basketball. And I don't see that happening. But, you know, maybe they get reinvigorated back in LA. I was going to say at the Fabulous Forum. You know,
Chick Hearn.
I can't
Mustard's
even
off the
call
hot
it
dog.
the crypto.com or whatever the hell it's called. But,
Horrible.
I even got used to Staples Center. But anyway, yeah, so that's, I just think they're not good enough. They're just not good enough. They've been a disappointment for the whole year. I looked up the ESPN preseason predictions. They ranked all 30 teams. And no surprise, Denver was number one, but they picked the Lakers number five. And this is not in the West, this is overall. I mean, talk about ludicrous wishful thinking. I mean, there's so much interesting stuff in this preseason prediction. The Suns at number four. God, what were you smoking, right? So we'll get to that. But, you know, Denver, as I said, number one. They've been healthy, which is huge. You know, look at all the teams that are teetering with their best player, in most cases their big men, struggling. That hasn't happened in Denver, and so I just think, I'm not going to say it's over, but it's Sisyphean effort by the Lakers here.
And Owen, just to those points that Todd was making, he's really kind of touching on the fact that AD and LeBron are putting in fantastic performances. I mean, they're getting great production out of these guys. Yes, Jokic went off when it really mattered, and Jamal Murray, the light went off in the fourth quarter. But like, what can they do better to challenge the Nuggets?
I don't think you can do anything, man. It's funny. I mean, I know we're going to talk about the Sixers game later, probably, but I was texting my brother-in-law Curtis at the end of the Sixers game, saying, "Wow, it was Warriors-esque how they blew a 5-point lead with 30 seconds to go in the game." And then at 11 o'clock last night, he said, "Oh no, I think the Lakers did a Warriors by blowing a 20-point lead," which is what we've done all season. But I mean, that's just the Nuggets. That's they just pound and pound and pound and pound, and they're so good at robotic efficiency. And again, I was criticizing Jamal Murray, saying he's having a Klay Thompson type night. It was just chucking shots, but then, as you said, fourth quarter, then couldn't miss. And yeah, I don't know what you do. AD is a stud. LeBron played phenomenally well for the most part. I mean, you'll never hear about him. You won't hear about his missed open three to
Yeah,
probably win it. It's
that's
gonna be,
shooting
I'm gonna
practice
complain about,
three at the end of the game, wasn't it?
which again, I mean, look, even the best shooters in the world miss open threes. That's a
Yeah.
fact. But you have a chance to have your moment, and he missed it. And instead, he goes to the reporters after the game. He's like, "Oh, I can't believe they overturned the call in the third quarter." It's like, just put your hands up and say, "Hey, I missed a shot. We had a chance. Got to go home. We got to do better. Move on." But
I
yeah,
mean,
I.
we talked, I last time we talked, Mike, I referenced supporting cast as it related to Jordan, right? He didn't come into the league
Yeah.
and light it up. And as you say, Davis and LeBron have played really well. It's not about one or two people. It's about a team. It's about supporting cast. And if the supporting cast isn't stepping up, particularly against, record aside, arguably the best team in the NBA, it's not going to happen. They cannot do it on their own. Nobody can do it on their own. And they need the contributions of everyone else, and they need to play as a team. And it doesn't matter if LeBron has 30, 40, 50, 60 points. Doesn't matter, right? The team has to step up. And they've been rotating that supporting cast for years now, and they're not finding the combination that they need. It's just not working. And fair play, they're trying, but they're just it, it's they need it's more than just those two, right? There's analogies in other series, right? I mean, Giannis didn't even play, right? And look what the Bucks did, right? In game one. So it's about the other players, and I get it. The salary cap makes it difficult and all that. There's a lot at play here, but at the end of the day, this is who you come to the dance with, and they're not doing it.
Okay. All right. Now that we've formally pissed off Todd and frustrated him, you can't see him on the podcast, so you can just see the anguish in his face that the Lakers are down 2-0. We'll piss him off even more and talk about briefly the Celtics Heat series. Celtics are up 1-0. Jimmy Buckets is not on the Heat. Celtics chucked up 49 three-pointers the other night, hit 22 of them. They're just gonna bomb away. And in my mind, I just don't see how the Heat can keep up with these guys. Owen, what do you think?
Yeah, hard to see anything other than a sweep or a 5-game series, barring injury, of course, which we wouldn't wish on anybody. But I mean, yeah, there's the Heat were gonna struggle the best of time, even with Jimmy Butler, but without him, they've got nothing. So not even worth talking about. The second least interesting series in the East.
And to make Todd, you actually comment on the Celtics and give you some hope. The one thing is they do rely so much on the three. And if they don't fall, there's a chance. But is it really just a glimmer of hope and a very, very tight window?
No, it's not going to happen. No Jimmy Butler, no chance, even with Jimmy Butler. If they shot 20% from 3-point range, I don't think it would make a difference. I read they shot 62% of their shots in the third quarter were three pointers.
Yeah.
I mean, but you say they shot around 50%, right?
Like, yeah, well,
who wouldn't chuck them up if that's what you're hitting? But
well, they shot 47% of their shots this season were from three.
Right. So, but if you're making 50% of them in a playoff game, you know,
nobody's beating
45 or whatever the hell it was, then chuck them up, right?
Yeah. So 60% of all of their shots in game one were threes. So.
It's ridiculous. So, I mean, it's time to think about the next matchup, right? This one's over with, right? You know,
all right.
The Knicks keep rolling. You know, I mean, that's the only hope there. Is
all right. So we'll jump into that series before we take a break. Philadelphia at the Garden. Knicks come back, win it late. They're up 2-0. Embiid had his face in his hands last night while being interviewed, distraught, complaining about calls, and stating they should be up 2-0, but regardless, they were going to win that series. Owen, wow. What do you think about that?
I mean, they could have been up 2-0. They possibly should have won last night. I mean, it was a shit no call. But complaining doesn't matter. You'd like to see your big guy. I mean, I like half of what he said. I like him saying, hey, we're still going to win this series. We're still in it. You'd rather him be more upbeat and positive and not be kind of head in hand crying about it. Like, you'd much rather him be like, hey, this just shows we got hosed on a call and we're right there. Wait till we get home and we got our fans behind us. We're going to, you know, kick ass. I think they've got a legit chance. Again, if Embiid is healthy or gets healthier, it's going to be hard to beat. I mean, we talked about it before, Mike, that, you know, as much as I don't enjoy watching him play, he really is a difference maker. Like, he is so dominant. He can do all things. That, you know, I looked at some of the stats again with my brother-in-law. We were talking about it, and some of the stats which kind of come to my head right now, but like with or without him on the team, like even just look at their record, right? They were the number two seed for so long in the season, then he got hurt and they dropped to the 10 or 11 seed. He comes back for a week or two, and now they're the 7th seed in the playoffs. Like, he is that team. So if he gets healthy and goes on a run, you know what, they've got a real chance to kind of to compete all the way through.
And the one bright spot besides Embiid, we're aware of his injury. You're right. The plus minus figures, the one loss record with or without Embiid is startling. He truly is the most valuable player for that team. But the one guy that's playing exceptionally well is Tyrese Maxey. This kid can ball out, and he showed on the biggest stage he is ready for the challenge, and he's really kept Philadelphia in these games. Todd, what do you think of Maxey? What do you think their chances are?
Yeah, so going back to Philly is a huge boost for them. I don't think this is necessarily over. You know, the Knicks aren't exactly reliable in the playoffs. The ending of last night's game, it's like, 29 years later, exercising the MSG ghost of Reggie Miller, right?
Right.
I mean, it was brilliant, you know, non-calls, whatever. But, you know, Reggie Miller scored 8 points in 8.9 seconds. It was so reminiscent of that. It was so exciting. And I'm happy for the Knicks. You know, I want them to be the team that challenges the Celtics. I think more so than the Bucks. With Giannis's status so up in the air, I know we'll get to that, but so I'm pulling for the Knicks. But you know, like you say, what's Embiid's health going to be like? He's they're lost. They're done without him. If he's not playing, they're done. You know, Maxey or no Maxey, you know, they're done. And I hope he stays healthy. I hope it's a good series. I think they get a lift going back to Philly. It's an uphill battle, but he's a difference maker. He's a game changer. And if he's at the top of his game. I think the Sixers have every chance. So I really think it's up in the air. You know, the Knicks held home court advantage. That's what you have to do. They win game three. I think it's all done, but it's totally up in the air, is my take right now.
Yeah, so we all agree, as long as Embiid's on the court, Philadelphia still got a chance at this. I tell you, really impressed with Mitchell Robinson with the Knicks, playing out of his mind. And Josh Hart, it's the Josh Hart series. He played every minute of game two. Every minute, hard defense, making buckets. Really impressed. If he keeps it going, even with Jalen Brunson not shooting well, the Knicks could just wrap this up. Okay. Knicks, Philly, it ain't over. But we are for part one. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this short break. Okay, welcome back. And the next NBA playoff series that we're going to discuss, we've made so many references to them, we might as well jump into it. The Milwaukee Bucks, ladies and gentlemen. And what can you say? It's all about Giannis Antetokounmpo, but can Dame Lillard carry them past Indiana? He did so the other night. He scored 35 in the first half, none in the second half, but Dame showing that he can take a team, put it on their shoulders. Todd, what do you think of that series? Basically, the Bucks injured with Giannis playing the worst defense in the history of basketball, who just like to run and gun. How do you see this series playing out with the Bucks up 1-0?
Well, you know, you're kind of teeing up my previous point about supporting cast, right? I mean, Giannis is, you know, I was looking before we got on. They still don't know if he's playing or not tonight. He's doubtful. Who knows if he's going to play or not? But
Just sorry to interrupt you, Todd. I just checked on Twitter. The Bucks just announced Giannis is out for tonight, so it's
okay,
confirmed
there
he's
you
out.
go. But they won handily in game one. Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez. You know, you already mentioned Lillard. They have the supporting cast. With him, you know, back to the preseason, you know, they were picked as number two behind Denver, right? They have the supporting cast. I think they can win this without him. Rest him, bring him back for the next series. I mean, they do have to win this series, obviously. They have to beat Indiana, but they seem to have the tools without him to do it. And I think it's an uphill battle for Indiana. I really do. I don't want to make too much out of 15-point win in game one, right? I mean, it's, you know, that the Bucks are at home, but I think it's an uphill battle. I think you do everything you can to get Giannis healthy. Get him ready for the next series. And, you know, those names I just mentioned, it's not chopped liver, right? These guys are really, really good players. And even
Yeah.
without Giannis, they're a really good team. With him, they put him over the top. But I think they can handle Indiana. You know, the next game is obviously key for them, again, holding home court. But I think this really tips to the Bucks right now, even without Giannis.
Right, Owen, how do you see the series going?
Yeah, same. I think actually it really, of all the teams for him to be out against, I think the Pacers is a good one because they're not going to miss his size as much. You know, they can rely on speed and, you know, loose play. I think Lillard really suits that kind of, that's a defense that will suit Lillard, if you know what I mean. It's, they want to play quick. He can get space, get you know, lots of shooting. He can drive, as obviously 35 points, you know, that suits his game style. And yeah, their depth and their all round roster is what got them, what was it, 2 years ago when they won the championship, or 3 years ago, 2 years ago? 2 years of the Warriors. Still clinging on to that one.
Just
I'm
had
gonna
to
see if I can
slip that
mention the
in there.
Warriors every section. I'm gonna make some reference. But yeah, no, I mean, just all around, they're just solid everywhere. There's, you know, even Patrick Beverley, right? As much as we all love to hate him, he can, you know, fill in a role. He'll do something to help your squad, and he's been there, done that. So I mean, it'll be interesting to see when it gets back to Indiana, you know, that they might make a run at it, but it's hard to see them not holding out and winning the series, at least. Maybe
Okay.
it's a 5 or 6 gamer at a push, but if Giannis comes back, yeah, it's over.
Yeah, I think I'm with you guys all the way there. As Todd says, great supporting cast with the Bucks. Everybody knows their role. A lot of experience. Dame's put the sword to a lot of teams in the playoffs before, so he's not afraid of this. I'd almost say, in a sneaky, sly kind of way, he's probably happy that it's all on him right now instead of Giannis being out there sharing some of the limelight, because the guy can deliver, and he certainly did last night.
And I think you have to give credit to Doc Rivers' smooth transition. I don't think that can be understated either. You know, that was a kind of a bold move by the Bucks when they did that mid-season, and that's worked out really well. And you also don't want to underestimate Rick Carlisle. He's been there a long time. He's a good coach. You know, he's been here before. So I think that the coaching matchup in this, while a subplot, is interesting as well. And you know, Doc Rivers has a lot of experience, but you know, only one title in all his years.
And he's
So
had some really good teams.
And so we'll see.
Okay, and that's a nice segue from Doc to his former employers, the Los Angeles Clippers, who also play in crypto.com arena on Laker off nights. And the Clips took game one without Kawhi. Paul George had a super game, and I tell you, player of the game was Ivica Zubac. He was dominant on the boards. He muscled and bullied the shit out of Gafford. And the Mavs, for the first half, they seemed to be like it was a preseason game. Kyrie was the only guy actually making an effort. Clippers put up a lead, held on, and they're up 1-0. They play game two tonight. Owen, like, can you begrudgingly think that the Clippers are for real, or are they once again, they're just fooling us and they're going to fuck this up again?
I mean, I guess in hindsight, it's not really a surprise for the home team in a 4-5 tank matchup to win game one, right? I'm sure if we look back historically, that happens a lot. You know, the crowd's going to be in it, they're going to be pumped. I was surprised, as you said, that it didn't seem like the Mavs showed up. Because I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago too, where I felt like the Mavs had a chance to go deep right there. You know, Luka is unbelievable, and Kyrie Irving, when he's on, is unbelievable. And it looked like, hey, these guys could be a legit threat. And the Clippers are the Clippers, so we assume they're just gonna shit the bed at some point. But you said without Kawhi, then they still go out and look dominant. Okay, I mean, finish 12 points is not massive, but like. You know, they looked comfortable pretty much the whole game. So I think a lot rides on game two. I think, you know, if it's much the same, there's gonna be a lot of pressure on Dallas, you know, when it goes back to Dallas to kind of to answer, because there's a lot of big names and experienced Clippers players, but you kind of see them blowing a three game lead. I mean,
I
maybe
saw you
they
bit your
can.
lip.
I mean, I'd
But
love to see it. Let's be fair. Who wouldn't love to see Harden and Westbrook and whoever else?
Harden, he was unconscious. He was playing like MVP Harden. I mean, they looked really good all around.
You mean round one, Harden?
Knock it off. I tell you who's a bit doughy is Luka. He put up great numbers in the end. He scored like 33, 13, and 6. And Kyrie had 31, but I'd like to hear both of you talk about, once again, that supporting cast. Like, they got nothing out of anybody else. I mean, the next highest scorer was PJ Washington. He had 11 points. I mean, like,
Yeah,
what are we
I
doing,
yeah.
guys? Some of those guys are Maxi Kleber and Derek Lively. Like, Jesus Christ. Lively
Yeah.
was on the court for 20 minutes He had 3 points and four boards. I mean, you're supposed to be kind of the future of the franchise. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's where you're going to struggle with some of these teams, particularly in a 7-game series, where if they're so top heavy, where if you can get some kind of a scheme together and put them under pressure, and if you can, okay, Luka scored 33 points, but wasn't super efficient.
Nope.
If you can restrict that, or as you said, go, okay, Luka and Kyrie can score 60 odd points, but if nobody else scores, we're going to win that game. Yeah, so anyway, now looking at the list of players around them, you're like, you know what? They are a shit team. Why are they so good?
And that's exactly it. It always took some of those other guys, Derrick Jones Jr., Dante Exum, they had to come up with big games to support those two superstars. And I think that could be part of the plan. Let Luka and Kyrie control him somewhat, but let him go off and see if the other guys can come up with the goods. And
I
after
think I'm
game
gonna
one,
have to. I'm gonna have to go to Todd for betting advice because he's now just cracked the code of how it all works. Todd, who's gonna win?
this one is so interesting because you can joke it's the Clippers, right? I mean, and everything that goes into that statement, but they have a legitimately decent team,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
But the thing that you guys have kind of alluded to here that is really interesting to me is the sort of hot and cold nature of some of these players, right? You said Harden was vintage Harden, right? So in game two, which Harden shows up? In game
Sure.
two, which Irving shows up, right? I have a lot of history here on the East Coast with Irving. And as far as I'm concerned, he's a cancer to every single team he's ever been on. He is just kryptonite. You don't want him anywhere near your team. So he had, what was it, 31 points in the first game.
Yep.
He could go for 3 points in this game and two assists and pout the whole game because who knows? Somebody, a fan called him a flat earther or whatever the hell set him off. So I don't know. I don't know where this series is going to go because I don't know who's going to show up. If Doncic is Doncic and Irving is Irving, I think they're really, really tough to beat. But you could say the same thing about Harden and George, right? I mean, you could let both of those duos go off and, not to beat a dead horse, but to the supporting cast, who's got a stronger supporting cast? If you let the four superstars play their game and they go for 60 plus, as Owen said, then who steps up? Well, you don't really have that answer aside from Zubac in game one, right? And, I'm reading here that a few years ago, Ty Lue benched him in the playoffs, right? And so, he's clearly a different player now, but he's a different player for one game. So this one is really fascinating. It's almost like I was going to say, who wants it? Who doesn't want it? Like, who's just going to approach it like a preseason game? Like you said, Doncic didn't really seem like he was into it to start the first game. So, all joking aside, I don't really think Clippers history plays into it, But, Dallas hasn't proven, even with arguably, not arguably, I'll say arguably top two player in the league, not arguably one of the top five players in the league, no doubt. They haven't really done anything either. So it's a, historically underperforming franchises, even lately with all the chopping and changes the Clippers have tried to do to get themselves over the top, it's never worked. They're mid-table, no matter what they do. As Owen said, it's a 4-5 matchup. So it could go seven, and you don't know who's going to show up. And I don't know the answer to who has a better supporting cast after you take off the top four.
Well,
They got to prove it on the court.
you mentioned pouting and aggression and hustle and showing up and not showing up. A guy who's showed up recently and really accepted his role is former MVP and UCLA star
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook. I mean, chipped in for 13, had four boards, four assists. He's actually playing defense. He brings tremendous amount of energy. Just quick thoughts from Owen. What do you think about Russell Westbrook? He's able to reinvent himself for the betterment of his team and indeed his career, because he was another guy who was thought of as a cancer.
Yeah, I was just gonna say the same thing. Like, it's as much as he's been somebody we've rooted against for many years, it's actually refreshing to see somebody say, "Hey, I'm gonna take a lesser role. I'm gonna be a team first guy. I'm gonna do what I need to do, whether that's, accept, that I'm gonna have to be a defensive guy. I'm gonna have to be, a rebounder. I'm gonna, do what I can to help the team and actually seem to be genuinely getting enjoyment out of contributing to the team's success and not just be, hey, I need to get my 30, 10 and 10 and lead the league in triple doubles year after year, even if our team is losing." So, I mean, tip your cap to him. As much shit as I'd given him for stat padding for years, for someone to turn around and say, "Yeah, I'm gonna just, be focused on trying to win the right way." Great. I'm sad that it's with the Clippers, but
Too bad it wasn't for the Lakers, Todd.
Yeah, that was my first thought. I mean, I've always rooted for Russell Westbrook. As you say, UCLA boy, I've always wanted him to do well. Padding your stats or not, leading the, sorry, not leading, but averaging a triple double over the full season. I mean, that's Oscar Robertson-esque. It's done once in a generation, if ever again. So, Luka might do it, but I'm sorry, Nikola might do it. Who knows? But anyway, I've always rooted for him. But he's been a me first guy for a long time. Like, he thought he's going to be the franchise guy, whether it was in Oklahoma City or wherever he's played. He's going to be the guy, going to go through him. He's going to bring him to the mountaintop, and it just hasn't happened. And so it's brilliant to see him adjust his attitude and recognize what he can bring to the team as a whole to get them over the top. And I don't think the Clippers are going to get over the top this year, but it's great to see. And it would have been great if he could have done it with the Lakers, but there was too much dysfunction at that, whether it was him or whoever at the time. And it's nice to see him doing it. And I hope it continues. And I mean, that's what you need to do. You need to accept your role, understand how you fit into the bigger scheme of things, understand who the superstars are, and do your thing that way. And a ring's a ring, right? Whether you average 10 points or 20 points or 40 points, a ring's a ring.
Yeah, I think he'd trade all the triple doubles in the world to be a champion. Speaking
I'm
of
just
the,
reading
yeah.
real quick. Sorry, Mike. I'm just
No,
looking
it's all right.
there.
Just fucking up my entire podcast. That's all
Yeah,
right.
pretty much. According to LA Clippers news, it looks like Kawhi Leonard will play tonight.
Okay.
There was it hasn't been announced on the official Clippers twaddle, but looks like multiple sources are saying he was at shoot around today and is expected to play. So
Well,
if
that
they
could be
can
a difference
stay,
maker.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they can stay healthy, they're always in with a chance. They can beat
Yeah.
anybody if they stay healthy, but that's the biggest challenge they have, keeping guys on the court. We're going to slide on over to one other series. I don't know if we need to talk a lot about it because, quite frankly, it's not that exciting. Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs are up 2 games to nil. Orlando, like, it's Paolo Banchero, the Wagner brothers, but they can't score. They can absolutely not shoot the basketball. And I fear for them. I just don't think they can get over the Cavaliers, who have the Twin Towers. Mobley and Allen played really well the other night. And it's basically the Magic with four guys on the court passing it to Paolo and saying, "Go for your life. We'll pick up the scraps." And it's just too much for him to take on. Any thoughts on that series?
I mean, can we get a collective who cares with this series? I mean, the Magic shot 32% from the floor, 21% from threes, and 63% from the free throw line. I mean, I think Cleveland's going to win the series, but I think that, in 2 weeks, nobody's going to remember this series or care about this series or care about either one of these teams in the playoffs. So, and you know, I'm not trying to disrespect the topic of the podcast, you know, but I mean, really, like, this is probably probably the least interesting series of all of them.
It's great to see him sit on the fence, huh, Owen?
I was gonna say, I don't know. You could say probably. I think it's definitely the most or the least interesting. I don't think in 2 weeks nobody cares about it. I think in 2 minutes nobody cares about it. I think we could have just said you're right, Mike, and moved on when you said nobody cares. But you know, I don't think we're upsetting any Cleveland or Orlando fans. I think even they've switched it off. It's so boring and dull. So this is the beauty of the NBA Eastern Conference this year.
Right.
I think you've got it in one right there. So let's switch back over to the West. And I think a really terrific series. T-Wolves taking on the Phoenix Suns. They play again tonight. And it was the Anthony Edwards show when it really mattered that put them over the top in their game one win. Owen, how do you see that series going?
If you had to ask me this series before or the beginning part of the series, you would think, Phoenix will cruise to victory. But I don't know what's going on with them. This is so weird. I think, but Todd, you said the preseason rankings, they were third or fourth or something, you said. You know, and you're like, yeah, you know, makes sense. Durant, Booker, Beal, you know, the big three, but they've just been disappointing all year.
But is Beal really a big three? Is Beal really a three? I mean, he put up huge numbers for a shit team, and now, you know, I'm not getting at you because
no trade clause with Phoenix.
Now he's got a no trade clause. Exactly. A fucking horrible contract. Like,
yeah. Sure. But I mean, for a number three guy, he's name a better number three guy, I guess, is the another way of putting it. And I will
Chris
wait.
Middleton.
Fine. Fuck you.
James Harden.
All right, moving on.
So Phoenix was ranked. This is very interesting. They were ranked number four preseason by ESPN, and Minnesota was ranked 15th. Wow. Preseason. So who's paying these people, right? 15th preseason. Never mind, Oklahoma City was ranked 14th preseason. Yeah. So
sounds like they got a chance.
Yeah. This is but this is an interesting series. I think you could make a case that over the last 2 years, Phoenix is probably the most disappointing team in the NBA based on expectations.
I'd agree that. Yep.
And I don't think it's going to play out any different this year. You know, they totally blew their shot last year, you know, going into the playoffs. They were terrible. And the Timberwolves are, I think, a delightful surprise in the NBA. I think it's great that they're doing well. I love to see small market teams who've, you know, paid their penance and done their rebuilding bit and bet on guys to develop over the years and see it come to fruition. It's great to see. So I'm, you know, I have no love for the Suns. I'd love to see long-suffering fans, you know, have something to celebrate. So my heart's with Timberwolves, but I also think that right now, today, that they're the better team.
Yeah, Owen, do you think this is the case of the good defense beats good offense and the Wolves have defense in spades?
I mean, not only defense, but Anthony Edwards is just incredible. Yeah. I mean, I think if he's in a different market, I think it's a whole difference. I think we hear about him way more, right? I mean, he's 22, putting up crazy numbers. Like, he's the star of the show on seeded three, basically tied number one seed in the West. And he's their star guy at 22, dominating type player. Like, if he's not a one to watch for the future, sounds silly saying that when he's already a star, but like, this is his breakout year. Maybe he dominates in the playoffs, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, it's he's the big star that needs to get paid. I don't know if he stays in Minnesota, but that's the is there a lure of can Minnesota keep their big stars, I guess, is the follow-on question.
Well, that's a great topic for another pod, but I think you're right. This could be the platform that elevates him. He is already a star. He's got the skills as good as anybody in the NBA. He can play defense when he wants to. Offensively, he's incredibly explosive. But if they can roll the Suns, keep this going, perhaps into the Western Conference Finals, people are going to see across the country who this guy really is.
And he
And
can be in movies again.
he can be in movies. That was a super movie. What was the name of that thing? That was done by
The Adam Sandler one.
Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
Did you watch that, Todd? What was the name of the
Which.
fucking movie? It was where he went over to Spain and he brought the kid back and he had a tryout with like the Bucks or something
Hustle.
like that. Hustle.
Oh,
Yeah.
no, I didn't see that one.
Dude,
No.
you've got to see that. It's a really
Really?
good film because the guy he gets in Spain. He's one of two brothers that actually play in the NBA or did play in the NBA. He was a Spanish
Interesting.
international player.
Yeah, Juancho Hernan, whatever it's
Juancho
Hernan
Hernan
Gomez.
Gomez. That's
Yeah.
exactly who it is. Good man, Owen. Fuck, I knew I put you on the pod for a good reason. Excellent. Yeah. Hustle. Check it out, folks. They're our sponsor for today. Adam
Yeah.
Sandler. Adam Sandler will be on next week. All right. So we're both saying that Suns got to find some other gear to
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'd be surprised if the Suns made a series of it, but it seems I think I had to put money on it, I'd stay with Minnesota.
yeah, well,
Yeah,
I
that's
was
kind of where I'm come down. The
Suns haven't proven they have the metal, the wherewithal, the players this year to do it, and the Timberwolves have,
I
and
don't
so
think so. And they have quality. I mean, they've got KD is still otherworldly.
he
Devin
is,
Booker
no
is a
doubt.
flat out scorer of the epic proportions. But I tell you, the way the Wolves played defense the other day, Jaden McDaniels was thrown on Devin Booker throughout much of the game, and he really caused him problems. He caused him a lot of problems. And if they can't get production out of Devin Booker, the Suns are going to be limping home and then staying home because they're not coming back to Minnesota for games 5 and 6.
But again, let KD get 50 points. You know, who cares, right?
I will secretly say I'm rooting in some ways for Phoenix to get knocked out of the first round. So KD goes, do you know what? I need to go home to Golden State and make sure that I make one more run at this thing.
Jeez. Jesus Christ, the
Come home, Kevin.
selfishness.
You're still loved
Yeah.
here.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
then he gets there and he finds that Steph has been traded to Charlotte for 63 first round draft picks. Ah, that would be a magical, magical day. All right, now we go into I think the final series is again a really interesting one. New Orleans Pelicans taking on Oklahoma City Thunder. Thunder up 1-0. MVP finalist Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you're a stud. And New Orleans does not have Zion Williamson. How do you guys see this series going the rest of the way with OKC up 1-0?
I mean, Zion Williamson's out, right? You know, and they're the eighth seed. So,
Was a tight game though. They lost by 2 points.
fair enough. But, you know, maybe it's just enough to wake the Thunder up, right?
Well, they were quite sloppy. They looked very young. They looked their age in that first half. A lot of turnovers.
45% overall, 10 of 32 for threes, but the Pelicans shot 38% overall and 11 for 39 for threes in the first game. So I don't know. I think it's just a matter of, I mean, they're not number one in the West for no reason, right? And I think it's just a matter of them. You know, they don't have this kind of playoff experience. You know, they haven't been here before. That now that goes a long, long way, but neither have the Pelicans. So I think they're gonna shake the rust off, shake the cobwebs out of their head, get over the glare of the big lights, and with Zion, I think it's potentially a different story. I don't think the end of the story is any different. I think the middle chapters maybe are a little different if he's around, but I think the story ends the same way no matter what. And I think the Thunder shake it off and get the job done. I don't know what that means in future rounds. We'll have to see how they come out of the gate and who they're paired up against. We'll save that for another time. But I just don't see the Pelicans having the firepower to stay with the Thunder in this series with their best player.
Right. Okay. And Dr. O'Connor, have you got any word on Zion? Is he done, or is he just done for the first few games?
Let me see. He just seeing here is a video. He's saying his left hamstring injury is not as bad as last season's right hamstring injury. Thank you. I should speak for a living.
You should.
Zion said he's going to continue to rehab with the team. The quicker he passes tests, the quicker he'll be able to return. But he has to meet some baseline tests first. So it sounds like he's not super close.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, come on. It's lather, rinse, repeat with this guy. Come on. You know, he cannot stay on the court. And is that going to strike fear in the heart of the Thunder? The fact that he's rehabbing with the team and he might play in four games? I don't think so.
Yeah, so
jokes on them. It's now a best of nine.
So what are your thoughts on that, Owen? I mean, how do you see that series going?
I think I pretty much echo what Todd said. Like it's if they were going to steal a game, game one was the game to steal. It's, you know, a team of young players, their first time in the playoffs, nervous, unsure what to expect. You know, things don't go great to begin with. They're a little sloppy, but now they got through that. They are like, oh, even though we didn't play great, we still got it done. Now we're going to sharpen it up. You see, it's going to be, you know, you can't see them doing it again. That's a particularly hard series to watch, because that was our, you know, the Warriors' pathway was going to be that spot, right? And that's where you kind of hoped that the lack of playoff experience would count. But as you said, New Orleans don't have a bunch of experience, so.
There's the Golden State reference in this series.
You know, drink.
He's really good at it, isn't he? For fuck's sake.
Flips it right in, you hardly notice.
Mind you, you've dropped a few Laker references.
1980 Showtime Lakers. Let's do a podcast on that.
We'll reminisce some other time, but we couldn't do it on a podcast because 99% of the people wouldn't know what the fuck we're talking about.
And would they care that I delivered a pizza to James Worthy?
Did you really? Did he tip you?
He did, yeah. His rookie year in LA when I was working for Dominos.
Did you get the pizza there in 30 tip, minutes? Huh? Or rookie tip? Wow. You'd never hear that on any other podcast on the planet, folks. No other podcast in the world has that kind of information that Todd delivered a pizza to James Worthy.
Right.
Not Bill Simmons, nobody. Fuck them. All right, before we wrap up, it's free for all. Owen, is there any storyline that you just want to pop off about with the next couple of games coming up?
No, I mean, I just want to double down on how ridiculous it is that the Lakers are complaining about referees of all the teams that are their what is their plus minus on free throws over the last 2 years is more than double the second place team, and they get one game where one or two calls don't go their way, and their whole press conference is about how ridiculous the refereeing in the NBA is. It's like, yeah, come on.
I have an issue with that as well. With regard, we all know that they swallow the whistles during the playoffs, and so some fouls are not going to be called. You just have to get on with it and play the game. Todd, you wanted to jump in there?
Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. The Lakers are going to lose to the Nuggets. They're going to be playing golf with the Warriors. So,
you know. Todd, you don't know me. I'm always fucking bitter.
Don't be bitter. It doesn't suit you. Todd, what about your thoughts?
Well, I gotta hope that Giannis makes a miraculous recovery and he's healthy, and the Bucks make a run, or the Knicks channel Patrick Ewing and start playing brilliantly and make a strong run through the playoffs, and hopefully one of those teams gives the Celtics a scare. That's what I gotta hope for, is the Bucks or the Knicks do something. Somebody's got to challenge the Celtics. I'm not, I don't see them just cruising to the championship, because whoever they play in the West, I think it's going to be a tough one. But I'd like to see some effort from somebody in the East to at least put some stumbling blocks in their way. So that's what I'm hoping for out of the East, is somebody to trip them up a little bit, because right now the road is just too easy.
You're really afraid they're going to go undefeated going into the championship.
Moses Malone, fo, fo, fo.
Fo, 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 yo. All right, excellent. Well, I think that's about it. I want to thank you guys very, very much. I think it worked. I think in having two guys on, really insightful again, as per usual, for a shower of wasters. Really, really good. Thank you very much.
Very enjoyable. Owen, great to meet you.
Same, thank you.
Yeah, and you played nicely together and everything. We'll have to organize another play date in the
It's
very
hard.
near
It's hard.
future.
It's hard not to play nice when the Warriors are sitting at home watching.
Wow.
You can see that. You can almost see the tears. So.
Yeah. All right. Two more games. It's all done. Two more games.
Okay, on that note, we're going to wrap up this segment of the show, and then we're going to put this baby to bed. We'll be back right after this. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to my special guest, Owen O'Connor, the producer extraordinaire, and of course, the Celtic hater, the UCLA Bruin boy, Mr. Todd K. Really, really good podcast. Terrific insights. You guys really played well together. I was impressed. There was no fights. There was a few spats over the Warriors and Lakers, but that's to be expected. It's sports. It's banter. It's talking balls. That's what this thing is supposed to be all about. And I want to thank all the listeners. Hopefully you enjoyed this. I'm going to try to do this three-way stuff more often. I think it works. Hopefully we're getting there. That was episode Sweet 16. My God, it seems like a lot more than just 16. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Later.